Good morning, everyone. Today we'll be in Exodus chapter 3. I'm sorry, Exodus 33. Sometimes we don't realize what a privilege it is to have God's Word. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, since we do have God's Word and we've been in church, I think most of you in here have been in church most of your lives, and or at least a good part. And, you know, we have God's Word and we see so many times where God will point something out as sin, and he will bring up that sin deserves this punishment, and it's terrible. It's usually something really bad. But then we see God's mercy, and that, you know, we see that in his character, that, you know, even though we sin, that sin deserves a punishment, but God, we see God's mercy working in so many ways throughout the scripture. And, you know, I think we take that for granted sometimes, because as I was studying this week, you know, I was looking at the life of Moses. And a lot of times when you study about something, whether it's somebody, whether it's in the Bible or someone in history, you know, sometimes you study about them and you learn things. Well, that person's not as great as I thought they were. Maybe they have a lot of warts and things. But when you think of Moses, I mean, really, he's one of the most, as far as people go, he's one of the most revered people in the Bible. But when I was looking at this, I even got a new appreciation for him and how the Lord used him there. So you think about, you know, all that he went through. And, you know, he started out the first 40 years of his life, he was living in Pharaoh's house. And he was being raised by his mother, but he was being raised as an Egyptian. I'm sure he would have heard the stories from his mother about how the Israelites got there, you know, hundreds of years before that. But remember, they didn't have the Bible at that time, and that was relied on the stories that they would have heard. And then the next 40 years of his life, you know, he's running as a fugitive. He out in the wilderness before the Lord finally gets his attention there at the burning bush and tells him he's got a plan for him. And, you know, that's his first contact with the Lord. And, you know, he sees God's power there, and you know, and he follows his direction there. And then he comes back to Egypt, and he sees, you know, the situation. You know, he says, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And, you know, as a person, a human, that was impossible. But through all the things there, he saw God work, and he saw God's power. And, you know, they brought him to the point where Pharaoh let the people go. And then they go out, and they get to the Red Sea, and they're in trouble. And he sees God's power again when he divides the sea. And he's, you know, he's obeyed God up to this point. He's done everything God's asked him to do. He's seen God's power and how great he is. And then they get out in the wilderness, and God calls him up on this mountain, and it's where he starts to give him the commandments, and he gives him the tablets. And then what happens when he comes down from that mountain? Well, even before he came down, God told him, you need to get down. So your people have already gone back into idolatry. I'm ready to destroy them now and just, you know, start a new line through you. And, you know, he pleads for the people of Israel before he even goes down the mountain. And he goes down, and he sees the sin that they're in, and he sees how bad it is. And that's when, you know, he breaks the tablets. He grinds up that calf and makes them drink it. And, you know, he basically almost, we would say, he loses it. You know, he's letting them know how serious this is, even to the point where they put their swords on, and 3,000 people died because they were unrepentant there. So that's the point where we're kind of coming to in our lesson today. And, you know, just want you to see this mindset as we look at the scripture this morning, that Moses didn't have that history to look at that we do, where on who God is. So far, he had seen God's power, but that was about the extent of what he knew about God. And here, he's at this point, after things have settled down in the camp, He goes to pray and ask God to forgive them. And we see there, that's where we're going to start. And start reading our verses this morning in verse 12 of Exodus 33. And we'll read verse 12 down to verse 23. It says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou shalt also, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, just for the examples you give us in your word. I pray that as we look at this passage today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and show us through this example how we can know you better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see here in verse 12, like I said, that we've come to the point where the people of Israel have made this terrible decision. They've built this calf, and they've started worshiping this golden calf right when God is giving Moses the commandments and started giving him direction on how they're supposed to live there. And you think about where Moses had come to this point, how far he had come, just trusting the Lord all the way. And he gets up there, and God's like, this is how I want my people to live. And all of a sudden, they had just totally turned their back on the Lord. They've turned back to the ways in Egypt and worshiping false gods. And, you know, in Moses' mind, I can imagine, you know, his whole world is falling apart. It's like, Lord has brought me this far for what? The people, how can he use this people? Moses knows what God's expected of them because God's shown him. And then he sees them worshiping these false idols. And, in his mind, it's, how is this going to end well? You've got a holy God and these sinful people. And how are they going to dwell together? How are they going to be together? And we see that Moses' first request here in verses 12 and 13. It says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." So here, Moses is struggling to understand, what's going on. The people have done this awful sin, and, initially God said, I'll destroy them all and, build a line through you. And now when he's come back down, right, the verses before this, he says, I'll have my angel take them in there, and I'm just going to leave them there. And, and Moses, he needs to understand, is there a way out of this? Is, is God just going to destroy these people because they're evil? So, you know, he needs to know, and he's asking here for God to show him his character, who he is. He needs to be able to understand, you know, how God can make this work. And, you know, he wanted to know God better so he could understand and he could see how that was going to work out. And because God, or Moses knew that without God's presence, you know, they had no hope. And he knew that he needed to understand that. And by seeking to know God better, that's where we can start to have wisdom as well. In Psalm 106:23, it says, "Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them." Here we see that Moses has gone to pray, and he's standing there before Israel as a mediator. He's like, he's between God and people, and he's trying to understand God to the best of his ability, so he knows that God will follow through here. So, you know, he stood there as a mediator, and he wasn't sure where things were going to go with this, so he was trying to understand better. Now, just an aside here, or not aside, but you know, along with this, we can be thankful today that we have a mediator that isn't wondering, you know, who God is or what he can do. We have a mediator that is one with the Lord, and that's Jesus Christ, and someone that we can always put our faith in, and that's something that we can remember through this. So here we see that Moses is asking a question here to the Lord, and you know, he's wanting to know what, or is God able to work through this disaster that's happened? And God says in verse 14, it says, "And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." So God says, I'm going to go with you. So God gives them assurance here. And here's one of those areas where we see, you know, God tells them they've sinned, and this is what they deserve, but now we're already starting to see God's mercy here. And here's saying that he's going to go with them. And he says in verse 15, "And he said unto him," this is Moses replying, "if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?" So in the first verses, Moses was saying, God, I need to know that you're with me. I need to understand. In these next verses, he's saying, I need to know that you're not just going with me, but that you're going with your people, that you're going to be there with your people. And Moses was seeking that assurance. So, you know, if God just sends his people into Israel, even if he sends his angel to clear the way so they can get in there, you know, without God's presence, they're just going to be another nation in this earth. There's not going to be any difference there. And Moses knew that there was no point in going without God. Because his response there was, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence." It's like, there's no point without you, Lord. And that's, you know, he had come to that understanding that there was no point in going without God, because otherwise the Israelites were no different than any other nation there. And, you know, from Moses' time on the mountain there, he knew that the Israelites were called to live, you know, holy lives. But after seeing, you know, what's just happened, his thought is, you know, how can this work? You know, how can they keep these commandments? And but we see here that you know, God agrees to go with them, and the fact that God would still go with these people and be with them was a sign of the mercy that he had. And when you see the mercy that he showed to his people there. It wasn't just them that would see it. The whole world would see the mercy that God was showing in those people. And we have that same thing as well, because you know, God's indwelling Holy Spirit assures us that we are God's children because he is with us. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And Romans 8, 16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." When people see that God is in our life and they can see the mercy that he's shown us, then that's the testimony that we can show the world, that God makes a difference in our lives. And that's the opportunity that the Israelites had here, because there was no doubt that they were a sinful, rebellious people. God called them stiff-necked. That means they're stubborn, they're rebellious. And for God to be able to dwell with them and show mercy was going to show the whole world that God truly does have mercy. And that's what Moses was looking for. He was looking for assurance that God was going to be with him, because all of this that had happened up to this point didn't matter if God wasn't going to be with him anymore. It would have been a waste. So Moses continues there in verse 17, and it said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." So here God's affirming, yes, I will go with you, and I will go with your people, with these people. So he was showing there that they had found favor in God's sight. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." God was willing to show mercy to his people because Moses had come to him, and he was showing grace to his people through Moses at that point. And we can know that God shows his grace to us, more importantly, and for eternity through his Son, Jesus Christ. And, even though we are sinful people, remember the Bible tells us that, you know, the story of the Israelites through the Old Testament, that's an example to us in our lives. It should help us understand that we are a rebellious people too, and that we need God's forgiveness. We need his mercy. And the Israelites had Moses standing as a mediator for them. We have Jesus Christ, who's perfect, who died on the cross for us. And we have that access to God because of him. And we found favor in God's sight because of Jesus, not because of who we are. So it's come to that point where God has told Moses, yes, I'll go with you, I'll go with your people. But then Moses asked an even deeper question. He wants to know even more. And in verse 18, it says, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." So here Moses asks to see God's glory. And what does that mean? Here Moses is asking to see, asking God to reveal his true character to him, who he is. Because, think about what God's just told Moses. I'm going to take this people into this land. And in Moses' mind, I can see, what kind of character would it take to be able to take this wicked people into this land and be with them? If we look at this humanly, that sounds impossible. We can't even get along with people we like sometimes. And here, God's saying, I'm going to be with people that have directly disobeyed him. And Moses, he wants to see how this is even possible. And he asks to see the glory of God. And he wants to look into the depths of God's goodness so that he can have assurance that God will really be there for his for those people. So he was, when he asked for to see God's glory, he was seeking a deeper understanding of God's essence, of who he is. And we see in verse 19, it says, "And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." So here we have Moses asking to see God's glory, and this is God's response, that he's going to allow him to see his goodness. He's going to proclaim the name of the Lord. That means he's going to be able to see his sovereignty. And then he goes on to say, "And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." So here, God's saying, if you want to see my glory, what I'm going to reveal to you is my sovereignty, my goodness, my grace, and my mercy. That's what you need to see. And God was going to extend his grace not only to Moses, but to those rebellious people that Moses was interceding for there. And when Moses asked to see his glory, you know, God knows us better than we know ourselves. In the verses following that we've already read, we see how God continually says that he knows who Moses is, that he knows him. Well, God knows us as well. He knows what we need. And he's letting Moses know, this is what you need to see. And that's that God is sovereign, that he's good, and that he's full of grace and mercy. That's the glory that Moses needs to see. And God made it known to Moses that his compassion, that's his gift of grace and mercy for unworthy sinners, that comes from the very nature of his glory. And you know, that's what God was going to let him see when Moses asked for his glory, to see his glory. And we see in Exodus, if we jump ahead to Exodus 34, is when this actually happens, because after this meeting, God tells Moses to get two more tablets and come back up on this mountain. And that's when God allows him to get this glimpse. And in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, we see an even more detailed description of what he said there in verse 19. It says there in Exodus 34, verse 6, it says, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and into the third and the fourth generation." So we see here he's elaborating more, talking about his grace and mercy, but he also points out here that his glory requires a wrath upon unrepentant sinners, those that don't turn from their sins. His glory and his justice requires that sin that's not been repented be punished. So God is just, and he's going to judge the wicked. That's part of who he is as well. But we also know that he does not take pleasure in that. That is not his desire to do that. We see that in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. It says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" There. Again, even though God's holiness and his justice requires punishment of sin, we also see his mercy and grace and how he wants us to turn to him. He does not want to have to destroy sinners. He wants us to turn to him. And we see in his compassion here, how does this fit in with the Israelites there and us as well today? And, you know, just some of the components of his compassion there. First of all, we see that there's it doesn't require inherent merit or worth His compassion is unconditional. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we can do. It's something that God gives. And it's not because of us. It's because of him. Secondly, we see it's a free gift. It's not something that we bargained or negotiated for. He gives grace and compassion to whosoever he wills. That's something, it's free from him. And lastly, we see there in his compassion that it's relational. He desires a people that are going to delight in his ways, not just do his bidding. And we have that opportunity to serve him, not because he's forcing us to, but because we want to. And, you know, this is how God could dwell with such an undeserving people. It was based on his character, not on ours, on who he is, not on who we are. And that's something that we can truly be thankful for, because otherwise we would have no hope. And then we go on to see there in the last few verses, in verse 20 through 23, it says, "And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." So God was letting Moses know that his glory and his holiness, his full glory, was more than a human frailty could handle. God is too great for us to be able to see all of his glory. But God was willing to let Moses see a glimpse of that so that he could understand enough where he revealed his power, which Moses had already seen his power in work, but he also revealed here something that Moses hadn't had the opportunity to understand, and that was his goodness and his compassion. And this was what God allowed him to see was going to give Moses the peace that he needed to carry on. And we see in Exodus 34, verses 8 and 9, after God has shown him that glimpse of his glory, it says, "And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance." And we see here the point that Moses has come from, wondering, doubting, you know, how could this work? You know, how could this holy God live with this imperfect people? And now God's given him a glimpse of his glory, a glimpse of who he is. And now, not only does Moses understand, he's willing to surrender completely to the Lord, to go with his people into this land. It says, you know, after he saw the Lord, he made haste and bowed down. So, you know, we see what an impact it had on Moses when he saw just a glimpse of God's glory there. And he was willing to, the last thing he says, take us for thine inheritance. That's surrender, not only him, but his people. Lord, now I understand your grace and your mercy and how this can work. It's not because of us, it's because of you. And so, you know, as we look at this, we see that Moses needed some assurance when we started this passage here. He needed to know that God was with him. He also needed to know that God could and would dwell among an undeserving people. He wanted to see God's glory to understand how so much grace and mercy is even possible. I think up to this point, Moses could not even contemplate that much grace and mercy. But when he saw God and who he was, then he understood, you know, how this could work. And God gave him what he was looking for by allowing him to have that glimpse. So you think that goes back to where I started, where You know, we take for granted Moses did not have the Bible, where he had seen God working in so many ways, that he'd seen God's grace and mercy. We've seen a whole history of how God's grace and mercy has worked. This was new to Moses. And now God's just given him a glimpse so he could understand something that we see in his word, that have the ability to see every day. And you know, God has shown us his glory by sending his only begotten son to this earth, to that manger in Bethlehem. We've seen God's glory in the fact that he sent his son. And you know, God showed Moses his glory, and he's shown us his glory in that one who he did send, and that in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's where we truly see God's glory, his sovereignty, his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. We see it in the life of Jesus and what he's done in our lives. So when Moses saw God's glory, he gave him total surrender. And we should have the same response and surrender completely to Jesus, because we've seen his glory through his son, Jesus Christ. We've seen it in his word. We've seen it working in our lives. We've seen so many examples of God's glory working through Jesus in people's lives. And you know, we don't have to wonder like Moses did. God's made it clear to us that his glory is a glory of compassion, of grace, of mercy, and just that's who he is. And that should be ruling every part of our lives. So, you know, God's glory should be, we need to recognize it as a true blessing in our lives, and how much we owe to him. So let's never forget God's glory and how he's shown that through his love and his mercy. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Moses, how he sought you, and Lord, you showed him what he was looking for and how great you are. And Lord, I pray that we would never stray from that. Lord, we're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes. But Lord, we need to always turn back to you, knowing that you're going to accept us and that you will accept us when we turn back to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.